Welcome to the Umbrella Hour. This is Dr. On and Xander Keg. This hour, we are meeting with Felicia Minor. Felicia Minor is a vibrant and talented drag queen, entertainer, co-host, producer, and social media guru. Her passion for entertaining began in 2007 and was unleashed in 2009 with her husband's support. She has won various titles and awards, including Miss Gay Supernova US of A Newcomer 2011 and Fascination's Best Drag Queen Honor at Raven Events Annual Red Light District Costume Ball. In addition to her incredible talent on stage, Felicia also co-hosts and produces the popular YouTube show Let's Have a Fifi with Arizona's most decorated king, Freddie Prinze Charming. This fun and off-kilter show features special guests and is broadcasted live on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time out of Arizona on http://.youtube.com/letshaveafifi. And that is spelled F-E-F-E. Felicia's commitment to giving back to her community is another aspect of her inspiring character. She has raised funds for nonprofit and community organizations, including raising more than $5,000 during the COVID-19 pandemic. She is a storyteller for the Drag Story Hour Arizona chapter and the Drag Story Hour headquarters. She is currently serving on Drag Story Hour's National Chapter Board. She has also been featured as the official Billboard Diva, as the official Billboard Diva for the LGBTQ Consortium, and participated in Ripple PHX's Ripple Briefs campaign. Felicia has participated in Jail and Bail with the local March of Dimes chapter and is always eager to do more to impact the world positively. When she's not entertaining, Felicia loves spending time with her husband, family, friends, and pets. Her favorite color is pink. She was born and raised in Southern California. She now resides in the Phoenix metro area. Felicia's uplifting personality and dedication to her craft and community make her an inspiration to others. She's always willing to lend her talents to up-and-coming entertainers, helping with pageants and makeup, and teaching the new generation of divas how to channel their brand of fierceness, reminding them and everyone else to rock their fabulosity. If you're interested in booking Felicia for your event or have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to her. You can also follow her Instagram at Diva Minor, DivaMinor, to stay updated on her latest projects and performances. Welcome to our show, Fifi.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I mean, we have a celebrity in our midst, that's for sure.
Oh, winning awards of that sort. Oh my goodness.
I love it. People can't see it because we're only on audio, but you have a lot of fun going on behind you on your screen right now. I see pink and blue and rainbow and boa,
yes,
and all kinds of stuff going on behind you. How fun is that? What's going on back there?
So for those that can't see, this is what I call the YouTube wall. Anything this way is probably like just heaps of drag and things everywhere. But what's behind me is this clean put together backdrop. So you heard I love pink, and folks took that just a step further. And over the years, I've started collecting flamingos unintentionally. Now it's a thing. Now it's a thing, and I have accepted it. And I've even dressed as a flamingo in one of my recent photo shoots. So all of this is basically sentimental things that have been given to me. These up here have been given to me by guests on our show. These are from
so you're
the
pointing to like some photographs primarily, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is artwork from an artist that is legally blind, can see like pinhole. His name is Paul Castle. Him and his husband have a beautiful social media presence. So if you can find him, this is by body artist, Brandon McGill. They are wonderful at what they do and been doing it for more than a decade. Pointing out some other art on the wall, these two paintings, you can't really see her anymore, but are from the Cat Cafe when they had wine and painting. And then to relate to that, when we host Drag Bingo, Freddie and I at the Cat Cafe as well. So all this stuff has been collected over the years. And this is one of my outfits. It doesn't fit anymore, but it fits on her. It fits on this mannequin.
Of course it does.
she has the body I wish I had or had at one time. That body no longer exists.
Well, it's a very fun backdrop. I can see how it would work really well for YouTube and other video presentations. It's a lot of fun. It keeps you engaged, that's for sure. Now, you said you're from Southern California. I'm also born and raised in Southern California. What part of Southern California?
I was born from two Marines, and I was born on Camp Pendleton. And we lived in Oceanside for a little bit, but I grew up mostly in Rialto.
So. Okay. Yeah. My father was a Marine. He was also at Camp Pendleton, but many, many, many years ago, between 1959 and 1963, when he served.
Oh, he would not have known my parents.
No, no. But I was born and raised in Torrance and spent a lot of time in San Diego. So I know Oceanside is at the very north of the county of San Diego. So yeah, we probably stomped on some similar grounds over the years. And I live in Florida now, so I do see flamingos. Yeah,
I love them.
Yeah, you have to come visit and see some wonderful flamingos. So
it may be a while before I go to Florida.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
maybe a while.
We'll see.
if you go to Key West.
Okay.
Yeah, Key West is a little gay mecca. There's a lot of little areas. Yeah. St. Petersburg probably has one of the largest gay communities in the state of Florida. I've been there before.
I've been to Tampa.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not afraid, but I would say right now there's some governor that we don't speak of that is
on and I both live in Florida, so we'll just avoid the topic altogether.
Oh boy.
So in the bio, it mentions that you are a performer. So we know that you do drag, and particularly you're involved in the Drag Story Hour movement, which, of course, there's a lot of controversy around that right now. But you also are a podcaster and an LGBTQ community advocate. You also mentioned your relationships with your husband and with family. It seems to me that that's an important part of your identity, of your personhood, because you included it in your bio. You know, not everybody does that. So I'm going to ask you some questions about that later, but I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about like what kind of advocacy you're involved in that's within the community. And is that just in Phoenix where you are? In your bio, you say something about you're part of the national group of Drag Queen Story Hour. I'm not very familiar with the drag world, although my mother produced drag shows in San Diego when I was a kid, but I wasn't allowed to go, right? They were in bars, you know, in gay bars. I'd been exposed, obviously. I was part of a lesbian community for 25 years. I've been exposed to drag queens, but I think things have changed over the years. I'm almost 57, so I've been out of the scene for a while now. I started my medical transition 18 years ago, so I haven't really been part of gay community for quite a while now. So I just love to hear you talk about what's going on at the local level and national level with the Drag Queen Story Hour. Anything else you'd like to talk about that has to do with advocacy? I'd love to hear what you're up to.
Okay. I started in 2007 as a drag entertainer, and I got started by doing this, and this will kind of tie into some of what you mentioned. The first time I saw a drag entertainer was on my first date with my husband. And I had seen drag queens on TV. I've seen RuPaul, you know, I've seen a couple on TV or maybe out and about maybe, but never like really thought anything of it. Of course, I lived a little bit of a sheltered life till I moved out on my own and discovered new things. But I had not seen a drag show until I met my husband. And then so that night that we met, I was like, I can do that. Little did I know that it was a little bit of hard work than just applying lipstick, but here we are. One of the first things that I did as an entertainer as I was growing is that I went into the Phoenix Pride pageant, and that was a huge learning curve there for me. But along the way, learned things about my community, did fundraisers, of course, and support people along the way. And that includes raising money for folks. That includes being there for people when they need it. Advocacy is not just being a public figure, but being able to stand behind that and do the things that people normally wouldn't do. Now, am I walking on a picket line every time I get a chance? Not necessarily, but I know that in some people's eyes, that is what counts as an advocate or an activist. And for me, it's more of telling my story and educating others so that they can understand that we're not dangerous people. We're just like everybody else, or just doing those things and being there for one another, because there's so much hate on the outside, and as well as there's sometimes infighting. So we just stems from that we need to be there for each other. And of course, I pick and choose battles as well. But as far as that goes, from the beginning, I've always been willing to lend a hand, willing to lend a heart. In 2019, I joined Drag Story Hour Arizona. And then shortly thereafter, the pandemic happened and did some virtual story hours as well. But it has been wonderful to promote literacy to children and adults in a different way, and giving them a chance to open their minds or see someone that is like them. Because in so many instances, at the end of the story hour, we'll get people that are like, my child is non-binary, and seeing you as an entertainer has given them just a little peek into the world that they don't get to see every day, or that they're, because we, as we know, schools are sheltering folks every day and censoring and doing all that. But so I love children in the first place. So why not do something good that's going to affect the community? Whereas promoting reading is one of those things that if you're, the more you're educated, we all know, the more you're educated, whether you have a degree or not, the more you can pick up a book and learn on your own or learn with each other, that's your key. I had a difficult time reading growing up. So seeing somebody like me might have motivated me a little more. But as far as joining Drag Story Hour, I've enjoyed every bit of it. I've enjoyed being on doing things locally here in Arizona, as well as for the national chapter. For the national chapter, it's usually virtual. What has been really cool is reading to the people that work for Disney, and then they're sitting there with their children and they're listening to me and I have their attention. And I did like a makeup tutorial. What's the guy from Nightmare Before Christmas? I did that with them. Who would ever think that that's a possibility? So there's different ways of advocating for your community. Of course, we have our show, Let's Have a Fifi, that we've been doing for more than 10 years. And so there's that outlet. But to get back to your main question, I think as a person in the community, I'm not just a face or a name. I'm doing things, whether in front of the public or behind the scenes. I feel like that's key to driving that, of course.
Yeah, we've had other guests on where we've talked about maybe the difference between being an advocate and an activist, and how not everything has to be done out in front, that there's a lot of different ways that we can be of service to our community. And whatever way we're able to, and we want to, and we desire to, that should be okay. Some people are just writing checks, and that's okay too, because those organizations need money in order to continue functioning. So, no, I appreciate hearing about that. I kept saying drag queen, and I heard you say drag entertainer. Is this a way of reframing to be more like drag king inclusive, or is this a way to reframe the language to remind people that it's entertainment, to say drag entertainer versus drag queen?
I think it's a little of everything. I've always been an advocate for drag kings from the get-go. I have never been that person that's like, ugh, drag kings. I have always been, even had shows that I produced that included all cast of drag kings. So I've always been an advocate. when it comes to drag entertainer, maybe it is more inclusive language to include everybody. I feel like mainstream doesn't know that there is more than just a drag queen. And so I feel like more inclusive language is necessary to include everybody in between. In fact, Drag Story Hour rebranded from Drag Queen Story Hour to Drag Story Hour to include and be more inclusive of those folks that may identify in the spectrum of things. So
thanks for letting us know about that.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess it is more to be inclusive, to let people not think that drag queens are the only entertaining beings out there.
How did you end up performing for Disney?
That was through Drag Story Hour. They just happened to say, "Are you available?" And I said, "Yeah, that's great." But it was, the virtual world has opened so many doors for folks like me. And those big names that are on like the RuPaul's Drag Race, virtual has been like the saving grace for some of those folks. So even for me, like if I can do something virtual like that and connect with folks, that I'll jump at that. Plus, I'd have to like pack up my belongings and go, you know, I just stay right here and it's great.
During the pandemic, I also went full-time remote and I've just stayed that way as much as possible. I've had to do some gigs away from my home, but very few. I prefer not to do that anymore. So I've enjoyed not having to pack up and travel and go through airport.
Traveling is stressful, especially when you forget things or you need to do this, that, and the other in between. So.
Absolutely. You mentioned that you like to pick and choose your battles. I have become more like that myself, partly because of something that you mentioned. You talked about issues from outside of the community coming in, but you mentioned that you use the term infighting. And so I've noticed, I think like there's always been infighting. I can remember back in the 80s and there was always jabs going back between the dykes and the gay guys, right? I mean, it's like the lesbians, like we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things and there was jabs going back and forth all the time. But it was, I wouldn't say it was necessarily good natured, but I don't think that there was no social media, right? So it wasn't being elevated to the level that a lot of people could see it. But now with social media, I think some of this infighting is so visible now that people are taking sides. And and then if you're taking sides with one member of the trans community against another member of the trans community, because those two people are going at it on Twitter, I find it to be one, it's very polarizing, but I think it's very disruptive to what we need to do as a community. We're never all going to agree with each other. I think we can at least agree on that. But there are certain things that matter to us in LGBT community that impact all of us in a similar enough way that we'd at least want to move together as a block on some issues, but it doesn't seem like we've been able to do that. And I think a lot of it has to do with this infighting. You don't necessarily have to talk about something specific, but I'm wondering if there's anything you would like to say about just infighting in general, how you see it, it's impacting your local community or the state or the nation. You don't have to, but I would just like if you have something you want to add.
So the one thing that I have noticed, and I think I'm a little closer to this because I was alongside Freddie as he transitioned, but I feel like the T doesn't hold importance for the other members of the community sometimes. And with all of the things that are going on politically, I had a very rude awakening that sometimes the G and the L don't pay attention to the T at all. Whereas some of the language that's written in some of these laws are not, they say they're geared toward the gay community, but they're very much geared toward the trans community. And what I have been witness to is that especially the cis gay men are very, this is about me and not about we. And it's very much like, you're not important kind of thing. And it's very disturbing to see some of the things that are posted. And I am a fan of the block button. And it's very disturbing to see some of the the language that's used or the bearing down on, like, I am right about what I'm saying kind of thing. And you're just going, ooh, very cringeworthy. That's what I mean by I pick and choose my battles because I don't want to be in the middle of it. For my mental health, I cannot be a part of some of these conversations. I just maybe glance over it and hope that things work themselves out.
We are going to take our first commercial break. We will be back shortly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
We are back from our first commercial break. Our guest is Felicia Miner. We are talking about the infighting within the LGBTQIA plus community, the ever-ending or never-ending acronym. Let's get back to Felicia Miner.
Our infighting is the distraction that the people on the outside know is happening, and they start passing laws or they start shutting down bars or taking away our safe spaces because they know that we can't get along. And so that's what I mean by picking and choosing battles. I'd rather go for the more important. I don't care who stole your boyfriend, but I do care about laws that are going to shut down my community. So
I think also it tends to shift the focus away from what really is of essence.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned that people are just fighting over anything and everything as a distraction. And it's unfortunate that it's come to that. It's not the first time, but I think it's heightened.
Social media has definitely given it a little bit of hype.
You mentioned something, or at least we're touching on what I would frame as an opportunity to exploit us, right? Mm-hmm. If we're fighting within our own community and people are picking sides, it's easy then to exploit the grievances or the tenuousness in our connection in our own community. If I was on video, I would have put air quotes around community myself, because I feel like oftentimes it's not really much of a community. I like what you say about rather than comment, you are just going to block. And for me, that's a signal that you have boundaries, right? You said it's not good for your mental health. Well, not having boundaries is terrible for anybody's mental health. Being able to just either walk away, shut it down, click block if it's a continuous thing, is your way of saying, I'm not letting that negativity into my mind, into my body, into my life. So I think that's a commendable thing. I know that there's some sense that people have that if you block someone, somehow you're the problem, because if you're blocking somebody, it's because you don't want to hear the truth they're trying to tell you. And it's like, well, that's a nice spin for somebody who's being toxic. But I find that it's basically putting up your boundaries, your emotional boundaries, your physical boundaries, your mental boundaries. So good for you.
And I don't mind having a good conversation or a discussion or even a debate when it seems like you're just coming for insults. And I don't even mean just shade. I mean pure insult to one another. Then I'm just the older I get, the less I have to give. So don't take up my time with that. I do not need all of that. It just takes up space. Unwanted space.
That's right. I don't have the same energy I had when I was in my 20s.
Oh, well, I don't really need that anymore.
That's right.
So
that's right. Cleaning out. I like it.
Yeah.
You're married. How long have you been married?
I have been married. We have been married. So this is our 17th year together, which means it's our 15th year married.
That's wonderful.
And that would be that's next week, July 25th.
Good thing I asked. Put that back on your radar, huh? When is it? Yeah.
It's when life takes over and I forget the date. And then I'm, oh, flowers arrived. Now I'm, oh, what do I do now?
I put it on reoccurring on Google Calendar. That saves the day, I think.
Oh, I need to start doing that.
Right?
I am very much the Google Calendar person. Yes, I will. That's a good idea.
So you said that you had started doing drag entertaining 2007, but it was in 2009 when your husband gave you the big thumbs up for go out there and do your thing, honey. In that 2-year interim, was that when you were just sort of getting your feet wet and learning how to do what you needed to be able to do other than just putting on lipstick, as you said? It wasn't as easy. It wasn't as easy as you thought it might be.
Yeah. So I'll have to send you all the link because we're going to do I just did a presentation with a local professor here and the executive director of Drag Story Hour, David Boyles. And I present with them, and the presentation is called The Art of Drag. My part of the presentation is so much the Follow My Journey piece. And it's very hilarious to look back at all of the pieces as they fell either together or fell apart in the beginning, so much so they fell apart. And I thought I knew what I was doing, including not listening to the advice of my husband and my foundation being twice as light as I am. So just different things. I would say we coexist. He's been very supportive.
Endorses it, is a big fan.
Yeah. It comes with challenges, especially with children, because I can be very calendar heavy. And then forget that people are there. This is me admitting this. And then I'll need a little, hey, what are we doing this weekend? And then I'll go, oh, I really should be putting family time on my calendar. My kids have grown up with it, so they love it. Grandkids are growing up with it, so they're okay with it. So, it's just fun. I love not being the traditional family. I feel like even the traditional family has its problems and we function quite along.
How many children do you have, Fifi?
So I have 2 children that are in their 20s and we are taking care of the glam babies. So
what does that mean?
I have 4 kids. So I'm too young to be a grandmother. I'm a grandma. I'm not even 40 yet, so yeah, definitely no grand here, at least not yet. No grand.
But they're the children of your children.
Yes.
You call them glam babies.
Yes.
I like it.
A glam baby.
Are you all in Arizona?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's nice.
What do they call you?
So only one of them can talk right now. So Yaya is what my, and so I think this came from when my oldest glam baby was learning to talk. I wanted one of her first words to be yas. And I kept saying it on purpose. So every chance I get, I would say yas and snap my fingers. Cause you know, that's the thing. That's the vernacular in the neighborhood. And so one day, she actually did it. And that was like one of her first words was, yes. And we have her on video saying that.
Which is, oh my gosh.
So I have not started to say anything that I think I could do the same thing, but I'm just letting this one ride out. But she hasn't started talking yet, but we'll see.
And then you became Yaya as a result.
Yeah, and that definitely became the name that I ended up with.
That's fun. I think the first time I heard the Yas Queen, I think there was a queen at the end of it, was in that Amazon show called Transparent, I think.
Oh.
I think that's the first time I heard it. There was a character on that said it. And then as soon as she said it, all of a sudden I noticed it was being said all over the place, in the workplace, on social media, you know, the little bit that I'm on. Back then, this was a while ago, maybe a decade or more ago. Maybe she picked it up because it's a trans woman who plays a trans woman in the show.
But all on the backs of queer people. Popular culture makes twists and turns all the time. And here we are. And they keep trying to erase us. But we keep doing popular things or changing the fashion or changing the makeup or doing great work in different realms. And I don't think we're going anywhere. Ever.
Probably not. We've been here for a long, long, long time.
Centuries.
Are your parents still living?
Yes.
Are you close with your parents now?
I would say that I'm closer with one than the other. My mom has always been like my bestie. Without going into too much detail, there have been some things where I'm not as close to my father as one would hope, but we're working on it. We're working on it. So,
did they retire from the Marines?
They got out before the Gulf War because I don't know if intentionally they did this, but my parents didn't want to split the family because a lot of things could have happened in the early 90s.
With deployments and things.
Yeah. So my parents got out just before that. I'm thankful because I have a couple of relatives that have been to war and they are not the same. Appreciate what they have done, but they are not the same.
Was that the first Gulf War, the one that started in like 1989 or 90?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got out in 88, so right before the start of the war too.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah, So my mom thinks about it all the time. So she was like, what would our life be like? And I'm like, ooh, it probably would be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if my dad had gone.
Yeah, I was doing home health nursing in 1990 or 91 and heard and saw a lot of dysfunctional families. Worried the children
of the war.
Who had served were not in the same place. And I remember one gentleman, he was very excited to go, and then when he came back he was definitely a different person.
No air quote. It's not it changes you. It definitely changes people.
I'm a veteran myself, but like I said, I didn't go to war. When I was first out of my master's of social work program, my first job as a social worker was at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I worked with the healthcare for homeless vets for a number of years, chronically homeless vets. And most of them were Vietnam era vets who had served in combat. But I also had just a few on my caseload veterans who were from post 9/11. I don't think I had any Gulf War vets. You know, the Gulf War vets was a much smaller cohort of people. And a lot of them had such bad experiences at the VA, it's hard to get them to come back in. But the post 9/11 vets were starting to come in because they were going to college, but sleeping in their vehicles and things like that. And so we were trying to get them into more permanent housing or transitional housing at least. And then I went over and worked for the Navy for a number of years. And so that was, you know, people on active duty. And I was working in drug and alcohol treatment initially. And I mean, just the scars from war are pretty severe. But thankfully there are these services available. So for people who are listening, these services do exist at the Department of Veterans Affairs here in the United States. And for people on active duty, there are therapists and groups and residential programs. There's so many things. The Navy has a 10-week residential PTSD treatment program that's out of uniform. So you wear civilian clothing whereas the ones in drug and alcohol treatment are in uniforms, right? It's a very mm-hmm. different environment. They're given an opportunity to decompress and be a person, not just a sailor or a Marine or a soldier. So it's a wonderful program. You know, you've mentioned things that have to do with, you know, laws that are going to be passed or are passing. And thankfully, a lot of those are being thrown out by judges. But still, you know, it's the process that they're going through, and it's having an impact on our community nationally and locally. And you've talked about the infighting that's going on and how social media can be really toxic. That's my word. You didn't use that word, but I'll use it. And so in the couple of times that we've interacted, you've come across to me as a person who's very positive, resilient, is focused on doing good things and surrounding yourself with good people. And I'd love to know, what do you attribute that to, that you're able to maintain a sense of positivity and do good work and be an inspiration for others, whether you know it or not, right? It might be just, it's what's happening behind the scenes. Where does that come from? What can you point to in helping you stay positive?
Let's see if I can make this short story. So childhood was good, but there were some instances where there was some verbal abuse as well as physical abuse where I became very much the self-loather. I grew up thinking that I am, and there's still bits and pieces there laying around that I I'm not worthy, or I am not good enough for the next best thing, or I'm not good for this. I'm not worthy of that. In my early 20s, realized that I was having very much the self-hate war with myself. Even if somebody said good job, I was still thinking I could have done that better. Also, some of the things that I learned growing up, that as a person of color, that I needed to be more than my counterparts. I needed to do 110 to 125%. And if that wasn't my standard, then I was letting myself down and I wasn't giving myself a fair chance, so to speak. So that is something that I've had to unscrew a little bit lately. But as in my early 20s, I sought out therapy. Thought I was probably one of those people that thought therapy was for the rich, because I don't know how this got in my head, but you always saw on TV this artist got in trouble and so they sought therapy, and you thought, okay, well, it's only for the rich people because it sounds really expensive. And I feel like in, especially the Black community, I don't feel like there is a lot of, now there is. I feel like now we're heading in the right direction. But when I was growing up, I don't feel like mental health was a thing. It was like, get over it or you'll feel better soon. Just go cry it out and be over it. Or you were taught not to cry, which is another harmful thing that you do to children. But with all that said, I've gone through therapy over the years and learned to love myself, as well as, because through therapy and through some journaling and all that other stuff, I've gone on my own mental health journey and found how to love myself. And when you love yourself, I feel like you radiate the love for yourself outward instead of inward. Whereas when the self-loathing is happening, it's so inward and you project this vomit of toxicity. I'm miserable. I'm going to give you all this misery. Whereas the positivity you give to yourself is just shown through. Where that comes from is I feel like Felicia is just an extension of myself. And she was part of that journey that led me to loving myself. And that's a big thing. I wish that more people took the time to, and it doesn't mean in a derogatory way or in a sexual way either. It means finding that worthiness that you thought that you didn't have, or that in other conversations I've had, taking up space is a thing that bothers people, or they're not sure that they should. it's okay to be different. It's okay to be weird. It's okay to be whoever that you choose to be, as long as you're not being very toxic to other people or taking up their space while you're taking up space.
We will take our second commercial break. We will be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are back from our second commercial break. Our guest is Felicia Miner, a drag performer and entertainer.
Where that comes from is my own health, mental health journey and finding pieces of me that have been left out there and putting them together and saying, today was a kind of a rough day, but we're not going to carry that for the next day. Outward with that positivity. And I kind of formed Felicia around. At first, I thought that the entertainer was separate from the person, whereas the entertainer was teaching me how to be a better person. That's my story in a nutshell.
I like how you talk about that shifting from self-loathing to self-loving, how when a person is being self-loathing, that eventually it starts to come out. It doesn't stay contained within that person's body or mind. It starts to come out all over the place. Like you mentioned, you know, sort of like a spiritual vomit or something that is just coming out, and then it lands on other people. Mm-hmm. Right. And so then it's hard to be around somebody who is miserable all the time. But same with self-love, it also radiates, and it radiates in a way that it brings people toward you rather than pushing people away from you, which is, I think, what the self-loathing, you know, the radiating from that is pushing people away. So I like the distinction there. And so you found it through therapy, journaling. I haven't ever heard anybody talk about how the persona that they created for the entertainment that they did, that persona then taught them. I mean, I guess I've heard actors and actresses talk that way about how they were studying for a role they were playing, and they learned so much about this topic and it taught them of things about themselves. So I've heard that, but I haven't heard anybody just within our community talking that way. So I really appreciate hearing that. And I would imagine, and I would hope, that you're not the only person that's had that experience. It sounds like a really wonderful experience to have. And I welcome anybody to take up the practice of moving from a self-loathing place to a self-loving place, please. We can't wait for everybody else to love us. We have to love ourselves first, and then start radiating that love, and then bring people to us who also love themselves and love us, right? We could just go in that direction.
Now, it doesn't mean that every day I wake up and it's rainbows and sunshine.
Of course.
So we need to put that out there. It's not, I do not like toxic positivity. If you are feeling like this is not a good day, you can say that, but don't say, oh, it's a beautiful day. And then you're like, oh, I hate today. Don't do that.
That's fake positivity, right?
Yeah.
Well, we are just at the top of the hour. Is there anything else you'd like to say that you didn't get a chance to? You had the audience for the Umbrella Hour is worldwide. And oh, wow. This is going to, yeah, so we have listeners from US and the UK and India. Those are largest audiences, but we do have listeners from all over the world. So I don't know if there's something you'd just like to say as an outgoing message.
I say every day work on yourself. I am working pretty much this year on speaking engagements. This has been my 2023 goal and challenge. So being on other folks' podcasts has been a learning experience, but I also have embraced public speaking. So I'm up for that as well as hosting events. If you want to fly me to the UK, I am more than available.
That's right. You're going to hear first.
And India too. But yes, I guess I'll have to go to Florida first. Maybe I'll touch down and then go to the UK.
Well, you know, if you wanted to come here, a good time to come would be in September to come to Orlando, where I live, because the Out and Equal Workplace Summit is happening at Disney World. And there are going to be thousands of LGBT people and allies from across the United States coming from, these are employees of major corporations who have the LGBTQ employee resource groups, and they're coming here in September. So I would imagine it's going to be like a version of Pride. We don't have Pride here in Talkover because it's too hot to have Pride in June, but that's a lot of people coming here for one event at Disney World, one of the resorts. So.
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
In Key West, it's called the Last Key, and it is the very last key. The next opportunity is Cuba, I guess. But my partner and I, we ended up on our last night there at a hotel, and we only went there because we were hungry. We wanted to go to the restaurant and eat, and we saw all these drag performers coming down the stairs, and we had missed their show. Oh, wow. And they're apparently just noted for their drag performers. And I can look up that information and send it to you if you like.
Yeah, send me the huge thing that's happening in September.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to speak with you again and hear more about you. Last time I was a guest on your show, so I was doing most of the talking. So it's wonderful to have you as a guest on our show to hear more about you and the work that you're doing and the positive, non-toxic, positive messages that you're putting out into the world. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Great to be a part of this.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Fifi.
Absolutely.
It's great meeting you.
Great to meet you.
Thank you for listening to the Umbrella Hour with Dr. On and Xander Keg. Our next guest will be Phil Illy, and we hope you tune in to the Umbrella Hour. Thank you for listening.